Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm Joel Meyer, in for John Schaefer. Today on the show, we debate the music that you hear at the ballpark, and Christina Korten was ready for the major leagues of classical music as a violin student at Juilliard. Then, she took a left turn into songwriting. Christina Korten will join us to share her debut album and to perform live in our studio. But first, it wasn't so long ago that organ music like what you're hearing now filled the air at most ballparks. But live organists, like the one that you hear at Yankee Stadium these days, are a rarity. Today, you're more likely to find Usher and Little John. Yes, pop music is a fact of life at baseball games, along with sound effects, video highlights, and even advertisements. Some fans love that wall of sound and the entertainment it provides during games that can last 3 hours or more. Other fans are plugging their ears and pining for the days when amplified sound was just a dream. So is music in ballparks entertaining or distracting? There's only one way to settle it.
Soundcheck Smackdown!
Two new gladiators are ready to step into the Soundcheck Smackdown circle today. We'll be talking a little later to Jamel Hill of ESPN.com. But joining me in the studio is Peter Schrager, a columnist for FoxSports.com. Peter, welcome to Soundcheck.
Joel, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, so as we venture into the Soundcheck Smackdown, you are our pro music person. You love music at the ballpark. Why isn't it distracting? Why is it entertainment?
Well, in the last 30 seconds, we've heard Europe's final countdown.
On a public radio station.
Not going to find anything better than that as far as great musical talent. We've also just heard Usher and Kelly Clarkson, I believe, before the break. So you're talking the Mozart, Beethoven, and Bach of today, and it's just wonderful to hear this music at a game. But in all honesty, I don't listen to the pop radio as much as I used to as a kid. I go to the game, and this stuff is just fun, and it's pleasant to hear what everyone's listening to, and creative, too, because a lot of the times the music played is for a reason, and there's a story behind everything.
Well, it wasn't always like this. How did pop music end up being such an important part of baseball? When you go to the new Yankee Stadium or to the new Citi Field, you hear a lot of top 40 music, as well as the classic pop songs. There's three different Queen songs, for example, that are part of any baseball game.
The lexicon.
But how did pop music become such an important part of baseball?
I think it was around the late 80s, early 90s. They started pumping in a lot of music in stadiums. Mostly basketball was the first one. And you'd have Pump Up the Jam and CNC Music Factory. And you had these great songs like the Jock Jams album, which came out and sold well, that just was really stadium rock and really got everyone going. Baseball, though, and this is really a 21st century innovation, every time a player comes up to bat, there's a song that is played for that player, unless the player decides, I don't want any music going along with my song. So these players, it's meticulous. It is a process. They pick what music they'd like to be introduced to, and it's almost like pro wrestling. They come out to a song, and they perform.
So you're talking, this is the walk-up song, or some people call it an at-bat song.
Yep.
How are those songs picked?
Well, a lot of times it's the player themselves. So these players will slave over their iPod and pick a song, and some of them, Manny Ramirez, will come out to four different songs a game, and he'll tell the stadium scoreboard guys, these are the four songs I want to hear. Other guys have come up to the same songs for their entire career. Jason Veritek will come out to the same Three Doors Down Kryptonite song for the last 10 seasons, and no matter what, that's what he's coming out to. Superstitious, all this kind of stuff. There's a story, Alex Rodriguez of the Yankees, he actually comes with a list of songs he wants to hear each game, and there are stories of him 2 seconds before his at-bat sending a napkin with the song he wants, having someone messenger that up to the scoreboard guy, and he'll play it a second before his at-bat. And these guys, they obsess over it. They love it, and the fans love it too.
All right. So, well, for local New York fans, we should probably play something that's familiar to them. Mariano Rivera has a walk-up song that he's been using for years. Tell us about it.
Enter Sandman by the band Metallica. Mariano Rivera became the Yankees' closer in 1995. This is the music they use every time he came from the bullpen, and Rivera is the most dominant relief pitcher in baseball history. And this is the song. It strikes fear in opponents' minds and hearts and souls. And the fans get so amped for this. So Rivera, no matter what the situation, whenever he comes in, that first beat drops. The Yankee Stadium crowd, the old Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium, this is their music, and they get going. And he usually takes care of business with this music in the background.
The song is Enter Sandman. If you're not a sports fan, translation, it's lights out for the other team.
It's good night.
Metallica,
good night, Irene.
Metallica here on Soundcheck. Well, if you're hearing that song at the new Yankee Stadium, Mariano Rivera is headed to the mound. It's probably late in the game. There's probably something very important on the line. I'm here with Peter Schrager. He's a columnist for FoxSports.com. He's also a contributor to Esquire.com. He's been singing the praises of music at the ballpark, but I don't think that everybody out there in the soundcheck audience is a fan of music at the ballpark. If you've been to the new Yankee Stadium, if you've been to the new Citi Field, or another ballpark for that matter, give us a call and let us know what you think about music at the ballpark. Is it an essential part of the fans' experience? Do you buy earplugs when you buy your peanuts and Cracker Jack? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-WNYC. You can also leave a comment on the soundcheck page at WNYC.org. So the we've been talking about walk-up songs a little bit. Jonathan Papelbon of Boston, we're actually going to venture into Boston territory here on a New York radio station. He has a song as well, too, a walk-up song that you've got a story about.
Yeah, I mean, this was, I guess, 2005, 2006. The movie The Departed was the big hit, and you know that was the summer hit, and Oscar winner. It was Martin Scorsese broke through that wall, got the Best Director nod, all that. And the song is Shipping Up to Boston, and it's the Dropkick Murphys, and this is a very Boston-centric song. The Departed took place in Boston. This song was out long before the movie came out, and the Boston Celtics actually come out to this too. So there's more to it than just Papelbon. It's a fan song as well, where this is Boston, and you are now in our world. And again, good night, Irene, because Papelbon is the closer and usually takes care of business as well.
The Dropkick Murphys, you're listening to Soundcheck. Dropkick Murphy, Jonathan Papelbon of the Boston Red Sox is a fan. He was seen doing sort of a jig during the during some celebration after a 2007 championship victory. It's become now associated with him. It's his walk-up song, but Peter Schrager of ESPN.com, walk-up songs are not the only music that you hear at the ballpark when you're there. There are songs that have been associated forever with, not forever, but for a long time with ballparks. Jonathan Fogerty's Center Field, three different Queen songs, Another One Bites the Dust, We Are the Champions, on and on. When did that music start coming into the game, and where did it come from?
A lot of that music came early 70s, late 70s, and then really picked up in the 80s. And again, it's just the fan experience. Can you imagine going to a sporting event now and sitting there with an empty arena during timeouts and during breaks in the game? It's just bizarre, even to imagine. But again, the NBA really kicked it up. And I remember the Chicago Bulls were the first ones to really have that intro music. And it was some song, but Michael Jordan would get introduced, and the place, the lights would go out, the music would come up, and you just had that feeling like you're here, and then a player would foul out, and you'd have Hit the Road, Jack. And it was just slowly but surely, and now everything has a song. And even in the NBA Finals, the Western Conference Finals this past year, it was a really crucial jump ball situation with the Nuggets and the Lakers. and they played crisscross jump around. Like, they have to find a way. And this is like a very serious point in the game, and they had to find a way to get some music in there. It's almost like you don't have a second of silence anymore, which I'm sure people find a negative with, but the positive of it is you're always dancing, you're always on your seat, and you're getting your money's worth.
Well, I think, Peter, that not everybody agrees with you. I think there are some Soundcheck listeners that are out there that wouldn't mind a baseball game where you sit there and it's quiet and you don't hear any pre-recorded music, maybe not even organ. I mean, organ came into the game in the 40s, and it's been it was even controversial in the 70s.
Sure,
some people wanted to get rid of it. We want to hear from you. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. You can also leave a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org, 212-433-WNYC. Peter, we're going to do a little bit of a test on you and see how you feel about a couple of aspects of baseball games. Now, we were talking just a second ago about organ. One thing that organ brought to the game was the charge cheer. Let's hear
revolutionary cheer.
Let's hear a little bit of that. All right, so... You're probably in favor of the charge.
I'm familiar with that. Yeah, no, I'm in favor of that, and it's amazing to me to think of the minds that put that together, and they look at each other like, "Eureka, we found it! Like, this is it, charge! They're going to do it!" And how far we've come.
Okay, now our next clip is a 1985 classic.
Love this.
If you've been to a baseball park, you've probably clapped mindlessly along with John Fogerty's Center Field, a big hit for him, a big comeback in his career, but also heard in ballparks across the country.
Impossible not to like this song. You cannot hear this song and say, "I don't like this song." This reminds me of Little League. This reminds me of summer. This reminds me of me and my dad hanging out having some soda pop. This is what this is. This is America.
All right, well, let's maybe shift gears here a little bit. This might venture a little bit into sort of corporate America. This is a sound from Wrigley Field in Chicago. This past Saturday, they played the Cleveland Indians. And even though Wrigley Field is sort of a traditional park, and it's a place that's steeped in the history of baseball, you can still hear advertising from the PA announcer coming over the speakers. This past Saturday's Cubs-Indians game at Wrigley Field in Chicago, encouraging fans to text something to somebody to get something. That's advertising, in the game. It's something that you can't avoid if you're a fan in the stands. Peter, what do you think of that?
Yeah, you don't like hearing just random phone numbers being splurred about. And again, you've got to kind of go along with it that, hey, this is part of the game now. It's advertising. It's mass advertising. And forget the ears. I mean, the visuals. You can't open your eyes at one of the new stadiums, Yankee Stadium, Citi Field, without being just bombarded with billboards and interactive ads and crazy scoreboards. So, yeah, I don't love that, no.
All right, well, let's find out what some of our Soundcheck listeners think. Butch is listening to us in Manhattan. Butch, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
So are you a pro-music at the ballpark person, or are you against it?
Well, it may be generational. I don't like the music. And I'd like to, from there with friends, we talk about what happened, what's going to happen. And your guest just alluded to this. It's not just the music. There's games. They tell you have to. They ask the fans to guess which candy is the most popular, what the crowd, how many people are out there. There's something all the time. It's unbelievable. They even tell you when to root. I can't stand that.
And what do you think about advertising? We just heard a little clip from Wrigley Field.
I couldn't even hear it on the phone, but if they brought back the organ, I would put up with the advertising. I love the organ. I think it's so gentle.
So, Butch, you're willing to negotiate, it sounds like.
Well, organ, I wish there were organs. I love it. Take me out to the ballgame. They still sing that at the Met Stadium. I love it.
All right, Butch, thanks for your call. Butch calling from Manhattan. You can also give us a call. We want to know what you think today in our Soundcheck Smackdown of Music at the Ballpark. 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-WNYC. You can also leave a comment at the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Peter Schrager from Fox Sports, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Butch makes a great point, and I think it is generational, and I think that the teams are actually... Butch is probably not their target audience right now. They're looking to get the families. They're looking to get the young kids. They want to get them going. If they could play Kelly Clarkson and have some 7-year-old girl dancing up in her seat, that's more important to them right now, and sad but true, than Butch and his friend talking about the 6-4-3 double play in their state in their seats. You know,
is it actually sort of a getting a fans into the seats issue? Why pop music might be played, something that's appealing to younger people? Are there not young people going to games? Are there not enough families going to games? I just read that attendance in the major leagues dropped off last season for the first time in four years. Is there like an attendance problem?
I think you're going to have a better bet bringing in and targeting the younger fans, which is the family package, because then you get four people together. You get six people together coming to the game, and we could talk about the astronomical prices all we want. I mean, it is absurd right now. You can't go to any of these stadiums for a nice day at the park with your family without, you know, paying an arm and a leg. However, the stadiums are geared towards those fans. That's why they have these huge scoreboards. It's why they have all these games. They want to make it a fun day at the park for the kids. And, you know, if you're a fan of baseball, it's been a fan for 40 years, your best bet might be just hanging on the couch and watching it in your house.
That's Peter Schrager. He's a columnist for FoxSports.com and also a contributor to Esquire.com. Let's hear from Soundcheck listener Mike is joining us from Mahwah. Mike, you've got a story about a recent Pirates game.
Yeah, I'm originally from Pittsburgh, and I went 2 weeks ago to a Pirates-Tigers game, throwback day. They shut off the PA. They shut off the scoreboard. No advertisements, just announcing the players' names, and that's it. And you know what? I loved it. I loved every second of it.
What was different about it? Was the game really that different?
Just none of the distractions, none of the, you know, the entrance music for the players, the at-bat music, no advertisements just randomly thrown out there, thrown in your face. You know, the scoreboard's not going nuts. It was a great time. And surprisingly, like, I noticed a lot of the younger kids didn't seem to mind at all, at least in my section.
All right. Thanks for your call, Mike. Are teams doing that? Are they doing sort of throwback games like that, or do they only result from when the power goes out or something like that?
You know, I actually heard about that promotion and was very intrigued by it. I think that's really cool. I think it's great for one game. I would be curious to see how that would last prolonged amount of time, and I don't know where they'd be getting their ad revenue from and how they'd even have a team if they had that. But definitely, I mean, listen, there's something to be said for the sound of silence, and it's a beautiful thing. And you know, at the game, if you're a true fan, you love watching it. But the truth is, they've got to attract a lot of audience in there, and a lot of that audience is not there just for the baseball.
During the first games at Yankee Stadium this season, they had not gotten all of the technology together with the scoreboard. So during the first two games of the preseason, it was just like that Pirates game that Mike was talking about. It was absolutely silent, and some people seem to think that that was okay. We want to know what you think. You can give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. We'll be taking lots more calls and comments after the break. We want to know, is music an essential part of the baseball experience, or is it too distracting? 212-433-WNYC. And coming up later on Soundcheck, Christina Corton has been playing music since the age of three. Now the Juilliard-trained violinist turned singer-songwriter has hit the big leagues with her first major label release. She'll perform live later on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm Twins fan Joel Meyer, sitting in for John Schaefer on another Soundcheck Smackdown. We're talking about how music is used in baseball games, and like I said, I love the Minnesota Twins, and when the team plays this song in the Metrodome, they do it every now and then. This is the indie rock band The Hold Steady serenading the Twins in their version of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We want to know what you think about the way music is used in ballparks. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. You can also leave a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Peter from Crown Heights must also be from Minnesota. He says, my beloved Minnesota Vikings are playing Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song at kickoff and calls it absolutely awesome. Jason from Midtown writes, I'm a traditionalist, but I love the songs they play at the stadium. There are definitely moments where it helps the adrenaline flow. Let's go to the phone lines. Alice is in Manhattan. Alice, what do you think about the way that music is used at the ballpark?
My biggest peeve is with the national anthem singers, with self-indulgent pop singers. I believe it is our national anthem, and wouldn't it be fabulous if someone who sang in tune, without getting fancy, led us all singing it.
Peter Schrager from FoxSports.com, the national anthem. Always controversy when you start talking about it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, there's a great clip, I guess, from The Simpsons when Bleeding Gums Murphy was it was the Springfield Isotopes of the team, and he did a 10-minute version of the national anthem, and everyone was falling asleep by the end of it. A lot of times, it is a chance for these people to show off their vocal skills and their range. A lot of times, I can remember Carl Lewis doing one, the track star, and Roseanne Barr doing it one time where they kind of butcher the national anthem, and it's better off they didn't do the Star Spangled Banner at all.
The Carl Lewis version, I believe you can still find on YouTube.
Oh, I'm sure you can. It was at a Nets-Bulls game in New Jersey, and come on, people, in the middle. And
yeah, it's worth sitting down on the couch and just tucking into some popcorn and watching over and over again.
It's a horror movie, really.
Let's go to another Peter. This Peter is in White Plains. Peter, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks.
Do you like music at the ballpark?
I don't mind the music. In fact, I like it. But what I think it's sad is that the team kind of orchestrates too much. The fans themselves, in my experience, are very colorful, and that's half the fun of the ballpark. And I particularly don't like when they have a loudspeaker saying, "Everybody clap your hands." You don't have to tell the fans to clap their hands. And I grew up going to the Dodger games at Ebbets Field. They used to have the Dodger Symphony, which were not paid by the team. They just showed up and when they wanted to, and when the other players struck out, they'd play ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. And then when he would sit down, the drummer would hit a big roll. And those are fun. Mets have a guy that shows up in a gorilla suit with a Mets uniform, called himself Metzilla. And
the Mets also, they have Cowbell Man who has his own jersey.
They have the guy with the signs. You know, let the fans be creative. You don't have to orchestrate everything.
Thank you, Peter, for your call. You know, this is something I actually want to get off my chest. I'm sort of playing, you know, neutral, you know, impassionate.
You're doing good.
Moderating,
yeah.
But I do have something I need to get off my chest, which is I spent 4 days at Yankee Stadium about a month ago, seeing because the Minnesota Twins were in town. They're my favorite team.
Tough losses for you guys. That whole stretch was brutal.
Absolutely. 4 of 4 games, all losses, which means I heard New York, New York at the end of
every
single game because my team lost. Cotton Eye Joe. This is a song.
Very controversial song.
It's very. Why is it controversial?
Seventh inning stretch at Yankee Stadium. They go to a song called Cotton Eye Joe, which I believe was sung by a DJ named Rednecks. I could be wrong with an X.
You're correct. It is Rednecks.
Sad that I know that. It's in the iPod. And it is.
It's in the iPod?
I love heinous music. This is a song, and it's really just pain. It's torture. And Yankee fans get going. They shake their shoulders. They start doing it. And it's a seventh inning stretch song for the Yankees. And here it is.
So that is Rednecks and Cotton Eye Joe.
What do you think happened to Rednecks? Do they have a second hit?
Well, you know what? They're probably on a yacht somewhere in the Caribbean just from the royalties from this song being played every game at Yankee Stadium.
I have a quick funny story. The Mets, actually, I was doing an article, I guess, a couple years ago about all the different music that was being played at the stadium, similar to this, and the Mets, they took credit for the Baja Men who let the dogs out, and they were very proud of this, the Mets PR department, and you know, we were the first ones to really make it big, and it was Who Let the Mets Out, they had their own song, it was great, it was the 2000s. And then I was talking to the Seattle Mariners people about a week later and said, you know, we're the first ones to bring out Who Let the Dogs Out. We were the ones who brought that to America. So these songs, like Who Let the Dogs Out and Rednecks, Cotton Eye Joe, there's some sort of pride as to who finds these heinous songs and puts them on in the stadium.
Okay, so Cotton Eye Joe, Yankee tradition, along with the grounds crew doing YMCA.
Sure.
But another tradition at Yankee Stadium is brought up by Carrie from New Jersey. Carrie writes, "What about God Bless America? I can't believe you didn't mention that already." And Frank agrees as well. Frank's from Westchester. He wrote, "The God Bless America tradition in the seventh inning stretch started with 9/11, and the police officer used to sing it. I think that's Daniel Rodriguez.
Yeah, I believe you're right, yep.
He was a tenor, but Frank writes, it's gotten tired, and I agree with another poster on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. It's too much." Mm. God Bless America. It is a tradition that started with the tragedy but has gone on for a long time. Is that controversial?
It's interesting because you already do the Star Spangled Banner and you do the patriotic stuff. The controversy was with, at the time, he's a Toronto Blue Jay, Carlos Delgado. He's now a New York Met, and this is one of the reasons they didn't want to bring him in, is that he would never stand for the God Bless America in the seventh inning. And no real reason why. It wasn't a political thing. He just never would come out of the dugout, and the Mets almost didn't sign him because of the fan outrage that this guy didn't stand to God Bless America. How can we bring him in here to New York after what we've been through? And it's a very controversial topic as far as this subject matter goes, because some people say, you know, it's just too much. And it's another thing to stand for. It's another piece of, you know, music that you've got to tend to.
Frank and Carrie are talking about it on the Soundcheck page. You can keep discussing it there at WNYC.org. Brian joins us from New York. Brian, what is your ballpark music passion or maybe dispassion for that matter?
Brian, is that me?
That's you, Brian.
Oh, hi. I was just talking about crowd control. I noticed earlier when I started going to the Yankee Stadium in the 70s, and if it was a Boston or Toronto game, between every inning, you could be entertained by a fight somewhere in the stadium, and everybody's attention would go to that fight. And now the people who may be fighting after a couple of beers are shouting at the scoreboard and cheering about which ball is under the hat, or which hat the ball is under, or which subway train's going to come in first.
Brian, you bring up a good point about the trivia and the various games that are going on. Do you, Peter Schrager from FoxSports.com, do you think it's really a form of crowd control?
Yeah, I think if there was silent and there was no in-game entertainment going on and there is alcohol being sold, I think that gives bored people the chance to find themselves something to do. And instead of arguing with the Boston fan a row ahead of you, you're all focused on exactly which subway train's going to come in first in that gimmick, and you're focusing on that, cheering for that.
Diana joins us from Chatham, New Jersey. Diana, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hello, thank you so much. I just wanted to go back to that earlier comment about not being able to afford taking the kids to have a wonderful ball game experience. Just want to remind everybody, in our area, we have the most amazing minor league parks. If you want to follow the Yankees and your local team, yes, then watch it on TV. But for not much money, you can have the most wonderful experience. I was just in Greensboro, North Carolina, where the New Jersey Blue Claws beat the Greensboro Grasshoppers, and it happened to be dollar hot dogs and dollar beer day. It was a family crowd, lots of little kids, beautiful ballpark. You're right next to the action. They do have some distractions. They have those funny games where they bring little kids onto the ballpark to play games in between innings.
Diana,
but you're close to the game. It's the most wonderful experience.
Diana, you sound like you are not, say, you weren't born in Brooklyn. Let me put it that way.
I was not born in Brooklyn, but I was married for over 30 years to a dyed-in-the-wool, born-in-Manhattan Yankees fan. So
I see.
Baseball is a big part of my life.
And that sent you to the minor leagues, apparently. Well, Diana, thank you so much for your call. The conversation continues on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. We've been talking about music at baseball parks. Peter Schrager, columnist for FoxSports.com, thanks so much for coming on Soundcheck.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great up here. Appreciate it, Joel.
Now, Paul McCartney is going to be playing at Citi Field. He's going to be the
first.
He says it's not that expensive. He's going to be playing on the 17th and 18th of July. You might remember a band that he was in played the first concert at the former Shea Stadium. So you might hear a little bit of this.
That band was Wings.
Still to come here on Soundcheck, Christina Corton has classical training, but she's got folk rock leanings. She performs live in our studio. Tomorrow on Soundcheck, punk godfather Iggy Pop spent much of this decade reuniting and rocking with his influential group, The Stooges, but his new solo album takes its cue from New Orleans jazz, French pop, and a controversial novelist. He joins us to talk about it. That's tomorrow on Soundcheck.